so many people were like, that woman is a tyrant in terms of COVID restrictions and mandates and lockdowns and all of that. She was one of the worst abusers of that.
I'm not going to go and blast to that industry how crappy of a contract it is. I'm just going to move on to the next contract. Hello.
Hello, everybody. Good morning.
Good morning. Sorry, it's been a crazy morning.
A little bit nutso.
Crazy. Mm-hmm. We're going to tell you why. Oh, I'm so glad, Michelle, Missy. She's getting boned watching the sunrise and
boned.
Waiting on the chicks. We're also getting boned.
So much boning.
We are boned up all in here. Mm-hmm. Can I share with you the most adorable email that we got from Maria Poland from Missouri about Genucel?
Please share it.
She's so funny. Okay, so she said, you guys. That's how she started the email, because she knows.
Oh, yeah.
She said,
you know,
she said, I am 48 years old, and I have recently lost a shite ton of weight.
Look at you.
I know. That is awesome. Which is great, but now that I'm this old, my skin is no longer willing to bounce back to its original shape. So it was kind of just flapping around my neck and chin like a hound dog slash Shar Pei mix kind of thing. It was a hot mess. So I did what any wife would do. I sent my husband a link to Genucel's website and said, husband, this is what I need for Christmas. Make sure that you use code word
chicks.
I've got a keeper. So I woke up Christmas morning to Genucel's most popular package.
That's
by day
so nice.
Four, I knew it was doing something. So I decided I was going to take progress pictures. And she did. She attached day 4, 10, 21.
Oh,
she said,
gosh.
I cannot believe the difference. All I'm saying is this stuff is gold. If they can do this for my face, I think they need to start working on formulas for my girls. They also need some lift.
And also the buttular area. I think that they need to start doing butt cream, don't you think?
Oh my God. I've been asking for body lotion, body care kind of stuff. So hopefully that happens this year or next.
Yeah, be great.
Thank you for making my mornings fantastic and always putting common sense back into this world. Have a great day. Balls. I love that so much.
You guys, okay, another thing that we need
to... Well, hang on. Let me just tell about the special, because you guys, Genucel, first of all, she's probably going to get a free gift, because anytime you send in your testimonial and we ended up reading it on the air, Genucel loves that, and they usually send you a free gift. So keep the testimonials coming. That one was especially good. But if you go to genucel.com/chicks, you're going to get probiotic moisturizer. We talked about this, I think, in our deep dive, where they use like actual probiotics, the same stuff that you would find in yogurt, for example. This is the good stuff that you're putting on your skin. Daisy uses it every morning as
every
a day cream.
Morning. Every morning.
It's amazing. Mm-hmm. And if you use code CHICKS at checkout, you're going to get an extra 10% off your whole purchase, whether it's just for the moisturizer, whether you get some other things, 10% off your whole purchase. Genucel.com/chicks.
I'm sorry, I was jumping the gun. So next week, the 24th, which is Tuesday, next Tuesday, because I'm looking at my calendar. Next Tuesday, we are going to have a noon show. We're going to try doing that. Okay. Just a noon show. Because Mock has some stuff going on in the morning that she has to tend to, some family stuff. So we're going, instead of a morning show, mark your calendars for next Tuesday. We're going to do a lunch show, a noon Eastern, 11 Central show. Okay. So for those of you who are in my neck of the woods, like in Tejas and whatnot, we'll be doing like an 11 o'clock, which I eat lunch at 11 o'clock anyway, because I am 1,000 years old. So we'll be doing a lunch show on Tuesday, the 24th. Please mark your calendars. Okay.
And obviously I'll send out an Ashley Judd photo to remind everybody, which is the perfect segue into our first story. But first, thank you, Connie. Connie says, got a bone frog mug for Christmas from my hubby. I am getting boned this morning. Good for you, Connie. It's the best way to start a morning.
You should get boned twice. Get boned twice. Highly recommend it.
Okay. This is no laughing matter. And I am not about to make light of what we are about to share
with
you.
It's horrifying.
This is horrendous. So I don't know if you guys remember, and I don't even remember if it was like for the New York Times or the Washington. I don't remember what publication Ashley Judd wrote a column in some months after her mother passed away. And she, and I felt really bad for her because she was talking about how desperately she was trying to keep private all of the police reports, all of the details surrounding her mother's suicide. And so that unfortunately did not happen. And so I, you know, there's part of me that's like reluctant to even share some of the grisly details, but now that the grisly details are out, this is going to be a news story, right? Like this is a significant news story. Thank you, Mark Wallace. Yes. Governor Ron DeSantis does have balls. So the headline reads that Naomi Judd's suicide note was revealed as cops claim she threatened to kill herself six times. For some reason, they have released the images of like the bed aftermath of that event. I don't know why we need to see that, but that is now public. And the suicide note, which is a post-it, says, "Do not let Y come to my funeral. She's mentally ill."
That's her suicide note. Like that was it.
That was it. And now what we're finding out is that Ashley, it wasn't the way that I kind of imagined, which I think probably everybody assumed that, you know, there was no foretelling that this was going to happen, that they were like all in the same house together at this moment. But then Ashley all of a sudden hears a gunshot and runs up and her mother is dead. That's not actually what happened. What happened is that according to Ashley and her texts to their family doctor and according to the police, Naomi was having some sort of manic breakdown and she was speaking in tongues, according to Ashley. She texted the doctor saying she's having an episode right now. Please come as soon as you can. And she was trying to calm her mother down. She reported to the police that Naomi asked her to just kill her a whole bunch of times, which obviously, you know, she was not going to do that. And then ultimately the doctor came, things seemed to calm down. And then Ashley left the room and that's when Naomi took her own life. And so the fact that there was clearly some sort of friction between Naomi and Winona to the point where that was her last thing that she did is write on a post-it note, "Don't let her come to my funeral." So what the article says in that I read is that Winona obviously went to the funeral and said her mother wasn't, I mean, her rationale is that her mother was clearly not in her right mind.
Which she probably, she's obviously not. Yeah.
Right. When she wrote that note. And so she didn't take it to heart.
Right.
Thankfully. I mean, because can you imagine living with that? I just.
Right. I can't. Wow. I can't. God, that family and just her. And like, she's never got the help that she needed. It just makes you wonder. Like, I mean, these people
have no idea it was that bad.
They make gajillions of dollars. You know, they're surrounded by, you think that they would be able to get the best care. She never got the help she needed.
And it's like, what's even more unfortunate is that obviously Naomi knew that she suffered from depression. She talked about it openly.
Oh yeah, all the time.
And so the fact that she still couldn't get whatever help would have helped is just so in her position in life, right? Like someone with the amount of resources that she had
and self-awareness,
and she couldn't get help. Right.
And
exactly.
Absolute self-awareness that she had it and she struggled with it and she still didn't get the help she needed. It just is. Yeah. It's pretty it's heartbreaking.
I mean, wow. Like that was, I saw that at the top of Daily Mail today and I was like, damn, that was some detail that that no one really needs to know. And yet it's out there now. So yeah.
And yet I'm sure a lot of people could probably relate to there are a lot of people out there, a lot of troubled people, a lot.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Like more than ever, you know?
Yes. So much more than ever.
Oh my gosh. Mm-hmm. Anyway, so that is, you're probably going to be hearing about that in other news sources today. There's a lot of speculation starting as of yesterday that Trump is planning a return to Twitter. He has also sent a letter to Zuckerberg asking for him to be allowed back on the Facebook platform. He's obviously already allowed on Twitter. he owns a whole other similar platform. So I don't know how that's all going to work out, but it sounds like Trump is planning a return. So stuff on Twitter is going to get pretty exciting if that happens. Another quick headline, CNN is closing up shop in Atlanta, which is huge.
That is such huge news. Yeah. I grew up in Atlanta, so did your husband. And that was, I mean, that is, wow.
That's corporate headquarters. Yeah,
that's Ted Turner, Atlanta. I was like, that is, wow. I mean, that's a huge deal. What are they going to do?
It's almost like we're going to be in like a deep recession or something. Because you're hearing about Microsoft laying off 10,000 people.
Yeah, almost.
Right.
Okay.
It's almost as if we're in a recession.
Crazy, you guys.
I know. Absolutely nuts. And then the reason that things were so discombobulated for both of us this morning is that I woke up to the news that Jeremy Boring of Daily Wire released a response video to Steven Crowder. We talked about this yesterday. Steven Crowder did this huge big con is in bed with big tech video and talked about a contract that he was offered from a big conservative media player. Didn't name them.
His shitty contract.
Yeah, his absolute craptacular contract.
It was so
bad.
It was just so bad. And, and our take on that yesterday, if you missed it, I think that our collective take on it was, this sounds kind of weird. And if you're going to talk about a crappy contract from somebody, you may want to mention who it is, because it was a 30-minute video from him. And I wasn't really buying it. I was kind of like, it just made me feel kind of uneasy, the whole thing. Now, I'm sure like a lot of you really love Steven. I get it, because a lot of his content's great. Mm. He is great. He's a fantastic content creator. It's a crappy contract thing. And then, it's so bad. And I've been mistreated and, you know, come work for me. Thanks. I was like, kind of weird.
That was what, you know, my takeaway from Steven's video was very much, he was making a point because he was trying to get as many subscribers as he could to whatever this new venture is that he's going to create or whatever. So, and everybody was speculating that it was Daily Wire, but no one knew for sure until Jeremy Boring released like 6 hours ago a response video that is almost an hour long. I did get through it this morning. Thankfully, I woke up a little early, not even realizing that I would be spending my time on that. But you guys, if you watch Jeremy Boring's explanation of the contract, it is exactly as I was talking about yesterday, which is to say that some of the protections that they have in place, some of the reductions in pay that are faced if you get deplatformed, make perfect business sense. And so basically, Steven did this against a friend. And that was the biggest takeaway, is that Jeremy's had conversations with him. This wasn't even a contract. This was a beginning conversation starting point. Right. He sent it to Steven like back in the fall. Mm-hmm. And it was just a beginning. $50 million deal.
$50 million.
Right. Crowder didn't mention that number in his big video.
Of course not. Why would you mention that? Why would you mention it was $50 million? It was a shitty contract. It's a shitty contract, you guys. It's only $50 million, you know. And this is the thing, is that people are like, well, I mean, they're still going to rationalize for him and be like, well, it's still terrible. I mean, he can make
he's worth so much more.
He can make, okay, then do it. Start your own company, because you've never done that before. This is the thing. I mean, and that was Jeremy's point, is that he's always worked for other people. When you own your own business, it's a whole different ballgame. And a lot of these kids, and I'll say that because I'm old, a lot of these kids who have always worked for other people and or not actually owned a business or worked in, I mean, dare I say, like, I don't want to say real jobs, but work two or three jobs while they've scraped and scrounged and then had their own business. They don't know what that's like to have to employ people and have and actually do the LLC thing, own their own business and take it on the chin when they employ other people and have to do that. And so, and I think that was, I'm paraphrasing, of course, but that's Jeremy's point, is that they're the ones who have to take the brunt of that. 50 million. 50 freaking million.
And there was going to be another 25 million at renewal on top of that. So the 50 million was for 4 years. Right. And by the way, you want to talk transparency. Jeremy Boring showed the contract on the screen and went line by line and explained every last detail of it. So even the pieces that initially I thought, oh, yikes, we would never sign that because it had to do with like literally handing over your social media to them, that only existed for the time period of the contract. So if Steven would have left after 4 years, he would get all of that back. It would still be his. But during the contract, it is under the management and control of the Daily Wire in exchange for 50 freaking million dollars. And then on top of that, he never has to do a show on a Friday. He gets his 4 weeks of vacation on top of that. So 4 shows a week, like an annual big time event, like kind of like Matt Walsh's What Is a Woman feature and Candace Owens' BLM feature, like one thing like that a year. And they would, you know, they would put all the production and all that stuff into it. It was the way that is it is explained. It makes perfect sense. And the way that the reductions were explained, kind of like what I said yesterday, if Steven is deplatformed, if his content isn't making money, how is Daily Wire supposed to pay him? So one of the things that I love that Jeremy Boring's point that I thought was so perfect is that he said, Steven isn't looking for a business relationship. He is looking for a benefactor.
Right.
And that is exactly right.
Yeah,
exactly right.
And really, that's to me, from a conservative standpoint, that's a sense of entitlement. And no one's entitled to anything. It's just not a way to look at it. I mean, it's like, I just, again, like we said yesterday, a lot of these people, I tread lightly here. There's a sense of greed in this industry now with a lot of these, like, people who are out there. And it's just like, it's a lot of this is about the money. It's not about the money. It should be about the message. You know, it's like, at least that's why we got into it. It's about the message and it's about the community. And it's about, that's what it should be about. And if you make money, that's awesome. If somebody offers you 50 million dollars. I mean, I cannot even, it's hard for me to wrap my brain around $5 million, let alone $50 million. So I just look at that and I think these are kids making mad, crazy money. I mean, they've gotten away from the message at that point. And now they're so into, I've got to make so much money. I've got to make so much money that, listen, he's a brilliant kid. He's a really brilliant kid, but maybe take a step back and say, why did I start doing this?
Well, and the shittiest part is that they had a friendship and a relationship and there was no reason for Steven to do this. So listen, over and over again, Jeremy Boring said what a talent Steven is and what a value he is. He even said, I probably would have paid him more. This was just the starting point to jump into conversations about. It wasn't even a contract. It was just a outline of terms that were meant to be negotiated. So probably the reductions would have ended up being less. The pay would have been more. They would have met somewhere had Steven not immediately said, I'm not doing this. This is a disgrace. And I want $120 million or whatever it is. So then they had a phone call after that. And Jeremy tried. He was shocked at how Steven had taken it. And this was in January. This was like early January. But even before that, they had phone conversations going through. And Steven ultimately said, I think you need to start over. I don't like this contract. Give me something else. And then Jeremy went back to the team and was like, I don't think we're going to come to terms with him because it just seems like he wants to do everything on his own. And so he should. If he doesn't want to be a part of a team, that's cool. He should go and do all the things. That's great. Good for him. We wish him all the success. And then all of a sudden, a couple months later, Steven calls him, and this is January now, Steven calls him out of the blue and is just like, I cannot get over this contract. It's like, all I can think about, I'm just so upset about how you're in bed with big tech. And Jeremy says in the video, he's like, I was so taken aback by it. Maybe I didn't do a good enough job explaining why our terms are the way that they are. So that's what he did in this video that was released, you know, a few hours ago. He explained why the terms are what they are. And it makes complete sense. And then the worst part is that he feels betrayed by a friend that some of the things that Stephen said about him and the Daily Wire's mission was truly offensive, because they have to make money as a business, right, but they pour millions of dollars into content that they're hoping has an impact. And that was what he took the most personal hit from, is that Stephen's now accusing the Daily Wire of not being authentically conservative, that it's all like this big game, this big grift. It requires money. We require sponsors to be able to do this for a living. It requires money to get a message out. And why Stephen did this, why he decided even after that phone call to make this public, and now to create a rift among conservatives, right?
Right.
There's going to be Daily Wire people, mm-hmm, and there's going to be Crowder people now.
I agree. Yeah, that is. Yeah, you're absolutely right. It's kind of like, listen, you and I have worked for companies in the past that were not, it's just companies, regular companies, have nothing to do with conservatism, because we've done other jobs for 25 years before we did this. And we've done other jobs simultaneously while doing this, because we didn't make $50 million freaking dollars. So we've worked three jobs at a time while doing this, right? So, because we're not like these other people. But this, my point is that we've had contracts given to us from other companies where they said, hey, will you work for us for X amount of years? I've done contract work. We do this job for X amount of years and do XYZ. If I thought it was a crappy contract, I would be like, okay, well, I'm just going to pass on that. I'm not going to go and blast to that industry how crappy of a contract it is. I'm just going to move on to the next contract. And to your point, that's my thing. It's like, why did he have to do that?
You know, I don't know. And so now it's just this big fat public fight.
Which goes back to a lot of what we say about, you know, conservatives fighting amongst, why do we have to do this with each other so much?
I never want to be that big where this is a thing. I don't even understand how to have that kind of a reach. Listen, I love having you guys. I love having people that like our message and like what we do, but I don't ever want it to be like that. I'm sorry, $50 million is simply not enough.
Exactly. I like being able to text some of you guys and know you by name and know what's going on with your families and know, you know what I mean? It's craziness. It's crazy. So,
and at the end of all of that, Jeremy said, please go follow him. Please subscribe to him. Like, he was so gracious at the end of that. But also said he's wrong. And so for people who are feeling like I'm trying to pit Daily Wire against Stephen, he said, I'm not doing that. Please go follow him. He's a wonderful talent. He's incredibly gifted.
And he is.
He's an important voice, mm-hmm, in this movement. He's just wrong about this contract. That's all.
Mm-hmm. So, $50 million with 4 weeks of vacation and all sorts of perks.
Every Friday off.
Not a shitty contract.
Okay. So anyway, that's what's going on with all that. Shelly, thank you. She said, just more proof that the love of money is the root of all evil.
It really is. I mean, it just
can get sketch, man.
Especially when you're like in your 20s and 30s and you get really, you know, I'm not trying to put down that generation. I'm just saying that, like, with social media and everybody trying to keep up with everybody else, I feel like that they're all like, we got to more. It's like, damn, if somebody offered me $1 million, I could probably retire on that. You know what I mean?
Right. We just wouldn't, because this isn't really a job. Right. Like, this is just us talking to each other every day. And you guys just happen to be along for the ride.
I know. We were joking about that before we went on. We were like, what is, like, these people, they just want more and more and more. It's like, what?
It's amazing. He may well be worth $120 million, and he'll find out when he goes on his own and does his own thing, and more power to him.
Right.
But why do you got to trash a whole giant outlet like that that's doing so much good work? Everybody calm down and then eat some meat, you guys.
If you want
the biggest, most flavorful, delicious food ever, why would you not go to omahasteaks.com and get yourself some delicious meat and sides? Oh my God, the potatoes.
And the apple tartlets. The apple tartlets. Like, my mother-in-law is obsessed with those now. She didn't have those until I bought her like a bunch of stuff for Christmas. She had never had the apple tartlets. She's like, oh my God, these are life.
They change your life, especially when you figure out that you can microwave them.
Yes.
And have them in 1 minute
for breakfast.
Are you kidding? Oh my God. They're mm-hmm. so good. You guys, you can save up to 55% off on Omaha Steaks right now. And then when you use code CHICKS at checkout at omahasteaks.com, you can get $30 more off your order. Now, there may be some minimums that apply, but check out their website. You're going to be filling up your basket quick when you start, especially, oh my God, the scalloped potatoes that like come in the little flower shape.
So good.
Oh my God. Everything is so good. Now I'm hungry. Anyway, omahasteaks.com. Use code CHICKS. Get yourself all the good, yummy discounts.
So, so good. You guys, and then also this weekend on Saturday, our deep dive is going to drop with Michelle Tafoya. She's very important. Very,
very important.
She's our new BFF. She used to do sports broadcasting. And then she left sports broadcasting to do political stuff, like political and cultural stuff. And she's very cool. And you should check that out because we love talking to her.
She's amazing. Very, very yeah. All right. We got to get to so much more news. So late last night, we got word that Jacinda Ardern, who is the Prime Minister of New Zealand, abruptly resigned. Now, there's not a whole lot of information about why. A lot of people are speculating she had no chance of being reelected anyway because she was hated. I mean, so many people were like, that woman is a tyrant. And we're going to show you a reminder of why. But in terms of COVID restrictions and mandates and lockdowns and all of that, she was one of the worst abusers of that. But first, here's just a quick few seconds of her tearfully announcing that resignation.
And so today I'm announcing that I will not be seeking re-election. And that my term as Prime Minister will conclude no later than the 7th of February.
7th of February. I can't talk like that. I can't do it.
I cannot do that accent at all. Okay, so she resigned. She just resigned because people hate her. Why couldn't she just, you know?
I think she may be ill.
Because she just looks kind of ill. I was going to say, she looks kind of like she's not feeling well.
I mean, she's changed. Like,
yeah, from the beginning
just
to
during
now.
Her prime ministry.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay.
It's been a drastic change.
Okay. All right. Cause is she the one that they caught partying and stuff at the beginning? Like, there were pictures of her like getting down. I could have sworn there were pictures of her like.
I don't think so. I think you're thinking of that real young chick. Where is she? Where was she the prime minister of?
Yeah, is that
somewhere in Europe, but not her.
Okay.
I don't think so.
I get those two confused then. Okay.
Yeah. But Tucker did like a whole segment to remind everybody what great news this is for the cause of freedom. Because she was so awful. And this would have been 100% perfect had he actually known how to pronounce her first name. I'm going to let that slide, but just know that he doesn't pronounce it correctly. But he does remind us of why she was so, so awful. Here's Tucker.
A Fox News alert and some rare good news. The appalling Prime Minister of New Zealand, Jacinda Ardern, that's the lady with the big teeth who tormented her citizens, has just announced she is leaving office. Here she was moments ago.
Announcing that I will not be seeking re-election. And that my term as Prime Minister will conclude no later than the 7th of February.
Most authoritarian leader that country has ever had, and no one else comes close. An appalling abuser of human rights of her own people. She, of course, earned the admiration of Western leaders, including former CIA director Michael Hayden, by ushering in an era of near totalitarianism in New Zealand. She shut down the entire country over a single COVID case. She told everyone to stay in their bubbles. She told citizens to inform on their neighbors by calling the police if they saw them outside. I'm not making this up, by the way. We kept a video record. Here's some of it.
Stay local and do not congregate. Don't talk to your neighbors. Please keep to your bubbles. It comes down again to those very simple principles. We know from overseas cases of the Delta variant that it can be spread by people simply walking past one another. So keep those movements outside to the bare minimum.
If someone refuses in our facilities to be tested, they have to keep staying. So they won't be able to leave after 14 days. they have to stay on for another 14 days. So it's a pretty good incentive. You either get your tests done and make sure you're cleared, or we will keep you in a facility longer. So I think people, most people will look at that and say, I'll take the test. You can now see family and friends again in their homes and use the bathroom inside. Luxury.
What are the chances she was a puppet of the Chinese government? We don't have enough evidence to prove that, but we would rate that as about 100% likely.
What were people using the bathroom outside, like dogs? What were they doing?
I don't know what's happening there.
People go outside squatting like dogs. She's so annoying. Her voice.
Oh, tasting.
She's so punchable. Not that I condone violence, but God.
Never condone violence on this show.
I don't condone violence at all. Okay, so yeah, she does look kind of sick. And how can you not pronounce Jacinda right? I mean, no offense against Tucker.
I don't know where that came from.
I do love him, but I actually like that name, Jacinda. I think it's
kind of cool. It's like a really different name. It's like our producer Valen has the coolest name ever.
Right. Uh-huh. I have a friend that's one of the swim moms that I'm friends with. Her name is Jacinda.
Really?
Uh-huh,
you know a Jacinda?
I know a Jacinda. I do. I absolutely hung out with a Jacinda last weekend. Uh-huh.
Jacinda.
What's up, Jacinda? How are the kids? Yeah. That's
wow. Cool.
Yeah.
Wow. Okay. Mm-hmm. Because she's definitely the only Jacinda I've ever heard of.
She's
so
not at all from like New Zealand or something. It's just wow. People were pooping outside. That's
apparently so. That's how bad it got.
Wow. No wonder. They're like, get out, lady. You're out of here.
Now, I don't wish her ill, but it is kind of lame if I want her to just resign in disgrace for being a tyrant. Right. I don't want there to be another excuse of illness or anything. I want her to be feeling forced out because she was such a horrible, unpopular leader.
Agreed. 100%. Mm-hmm.
Speaking of tyrants, as we know, the World Economic Forum taking place as we speak. And you guys, I posted this on our website yesterday, but just in case you missed it, John Kerry, this is a perfect example, this little clip of John Kerry talking to his fellow elites about how amazingly important they are.
They really are.
Remarkable. Like this is, if you need more evidence about how self-important these people think they are, how just unaware of their elitism they are, this is a perfect example. He actually says it's almost extraterrestrial like they're caring for the planet. Listen to this.
And when you stop and think about it, it's pretty extraordinary that we select group of human beings, because of whatever touched us at some point in our lives, are able to sit in a room and come together and actually talk about saving the planet. I mean, it's so almost extraterrestrial to think about, quote, saving the planet. If you said that to most people, they think you're just a crazy tree-hugging, lefty, liberal, you know, do-gooder, whatever, and there's no relationship. But really, that's where we are.
They're so important.
He's like, E-T. That's him. The giant head. That's him. He's like, E-T. Yeah. Did you see the Asian guy on stage with him just texting the whole time? He's like, I have no interest in this big-headed freak. I have no interest at all. Seriously.
Wow. I mean, someone thinks an awful lot of someone, doesn't someone?
Very full of themselves, aren't they? So important, you guys, and their private jets and their Teslas and all
of that reminds me, you know how like a bunch of them are talking about how if just a billion people would stop eating meat, like we could save the planet. All of their meals at this event are meat.
Steak. Oh my God.
Just like if we would just stop air travel, everything would be fine. Meanwhile, private jets, helicopters.
I barely watch Fox at night, but I just happened to turn on. There was a segment on Tucker where they were talking about. He talked to a farmer and I can't remember where she was. I think she may have been in Tennessee or something. But they were talking about putting diapers and masks on cows because in France they're floating the idea of doing that to cut down on emissions from cows. And my daughter looked at the screen and she looked at me like, what? Like her face was this, like the look on her face was, what the hell? Like, what are these people doing? And I'm like, yeah, this is what they're trying to, float the idea that if they just put masks on. And that, so the chick actually tried to put this farmer just as a representation, just to show, hey, this is what they're wanting to do. So she put a giant mask on a cow, and the cow was so ridiculous and miserable. It was like a dairy cow with a mask on it. And I was like, take that silly thing off of the cow. The cow's trying to chew like cud under the mask, and it's all wet, and it was just not. And I thought, these people are lunatics. I mean, they are absolute loonies, and they're just, and they are all rich, and they're spending our money, and they think that they know what's best for you, and they don't. And we need to make it stop. We need to just all make it stop. Demand it.
Well, thankfully, the Rebel News crowd is at Davos, and they're trying to corner people as much as they can. I'm not going to play this because you need to know that this actually runs for about 6.5 minutes. But I want to give you an idea of what that 6.5 minutes looked like. Rebel News caught up with the Pfizer CEO. And as he's walking to wherever it is that he's walking, they peppered him with questions. And these weren't just questions. These were like, how dare you? And shouldn't you apologize to the world? So I'll show you just a first little bit of it.
But can I ask you, when did you know that the vaccines didn't stop transmission? How long did you know that without saying it publicly?
Thank you very much.
I'm sorry. Answer that question. I mean, we now know that the vaccines didn't stop transmission, but why did you keep it secret? You said it was 100% effective, then 90%, then 80%, then 70%. But we now know that the vaccines do not stop transmission. Why did you keep that secret?
Have a nice day.
I won't have a nice day until I know the answer. Why did you keep it a secret that your vaccine did not stop transmission?
Is it time to apologize to the world, sir, to give refunds back to the countries that poured all their money into your vaccine that doesn't work, your ineffective vaccine?
Yeah, you have a little bit of
That goes on for 6.5 minutes.
Oh my God, they were pounding him, and it's such a thing of beauty. It's just awesome. So great. He's so uncomfortable. So visibly and physically uncomfortable with the whole exchange. It's a thing of beauty.
And it didn't even matter that he didn't answer. The point is that the questions got asked to his face, and now that video is going to travel the world, and everyone needs to see it. Everyone needs to see that.
He can't. He just can't say anything. So uncomfortable. What a douche that guy is.
Speaking of douches. Yes. Apparently, CNN, you guys, in addition to them closing down in Atlanta, which is kind of amazing. CNN is starting to actually talk about the fact that Joe Biden, the president of the United States, might have had some dealings with Hunter Biden's business partners.
What?
They're just now figuring this out. But you know what? Props to them for actually bringing it up, because that was not something
Are we going to give them props? Because, I mean, they were the ones who were like, the laptop isn't real. It's a Russian, that's a Russian plant. I kind of want to punch him in the face, Mock. Because,
well, we don't condone violence on this show.
Right now, I do condone violence, because the whole the outcome of the election would have been completely different had they actually reported this when they should have reported it. Because do you remember all the whole, no, the laptop isn't real, laptop. And now they decided they want to talk about this? I mean, screw you. That really irritates me.
Do you want to hear how they talk about it first, and then you can decide if they're punchable or not?
Okay. All right.
All right. Here's their latest reporting on this.
Despite his denials, a CNN review of the laptop data, as well as other public material, shows that Joe Biden did interact with some of his son's associates while serving as vice president, though it's unclear exactly what was discussed. One example, the Republican site, Miguel Alemán Magnani, a Mexican businessman and son of the former president who Hunter was trying to woo. In 2014, Alemán Magnani and his dad were photographed at the White House with then Vice President Biden. In a later email, Hunter Biden reminds Alemán Magnani of the favors he's done for him. We have been talking about business deals and partnerships for 7 years. I have brought every single person you have ever asked me to bring to the effing White House and the Vice President's house and the inauguration. Hunter Biden bluntly acknowledged the power of the Biden name in a memoir, writing that the Ukrainian energy company Burisma, which put him on its board, considered my last name gold.
I don't think that there's a lot of things that would have happened in my life that that if my last name wasn't Biden.
Right. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's
so,
right.
See, they're covering it. Look at them go.
I want to kick so many people in the groin right now. I just want to like power kick people. Am I the only one? Am I the only one? Yeah, 2 years too late is right. That's right. This irritates.
Well, now there's clearly a concerted effort to prevent Biden from running again. Clearly.
Oh, that's nice. What's going on. Thanks. Thanks for doing that now. Now that we have eggs that are $12 a dozen, gas is at the roof, and all of our 401ks have tanked. And the border is like wide effing open. Thanks. Mm-hmm. Thanks, Democrats. Appreciate you. Like, you know, welcome to the party, pal.
Right. God. And also, you know, the media, as we talked about yesterday, getting really sick and tired of the lack of transparency from the White House and the Department of Justice on this whole investigation into the classified documents found at Joe Biden's various places. Mm-hmm. And now it's getting testy all up in the pressers, you guys. Corrine got mad yesterday at one of the reporters. And here is that exchange. I promise there's just one Corrine clip today.
I want to reference an interview that President Biden did in mid-September with 60 Minutes. And in that interview, he chided former President Trump for having in his possession classified documents. He called it irresponsible. First of all, do you think it was proper for President Biden to comment on an ongoing DOJ investigation?
So I'm going to say this. And I'm going to keep it really short today as it relates to this particular issue, as it relates to an ongoing legal matter. I am going to refer you to Department of Justice with that specific as it relates to anything that you want to ask of us about this legal matter. I would refer you to the White House Counsel office. I'm going to leave it there. Not going to go into further.
I'm simply asking you to comment.
I just commented. We're moving on. Go ahead. No, go ahead. I already answered your question. Go ahead.
You really didn't.
Well, I did.
No, you didn't.
Well, it's your opinion. It's your opinion. It's your opinion. That is your opinion. Go ahead.
Yeah. The natives are restless. Yeah, the natives are restless. They're getting really pissed. It's not just Peter Doocy. Peter Doocy's just sitting back going, everybody else is pissed now.
Well, she doesn't even call on him. She hasn't called on Fox in like 3 days.
This is the thing, but she doesn't have to. Everybody else is so mad in there now. Like, you can just see, like, they pan the faces and all the liberals are pissed. They're just mad. They're all starting to revolt, you guys. It's awesome.
And it's amazing that it took this. Like, how have they not been revolting this entire time with how badly how she just doesn't answer questions?
Yeah.
They're only now just figuring this out. Like, where have they been?
Because they haven't been trans. Because they're on the side of it, right? I mean, they're all a bunch of commies. That's why. But now the commies are even like, well, crap. This isn't
you're
right.
You're making us look bad.
Yeah, you're making us look like complete idiots. So it's not good. It's not. We've got two more years. Got like 2 more years of this.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, what eggs are going to cost like $20 a dozen in like 2 years?
You're going to have to get chickens again.
I don't want chickens. They're so. I know. This is the thing. And you know how much a chicken is going to cost?
How much did they cost before?
Like hardly anything. I remember going to Tractor Supply. We would get, I mean, God, we buy them from neighbors, you know. Chickens didn't cost anything. I barely remember them costing anything at all. Now I'm going to have to sell a car to get a chicken. You guys, are you selling? Anybody have a chicken I can have? Somebody send me a chicken.
Please do not send live fowl through the mail.
God, I think we'll get in trouble for that. Crazy.
A lot of chicken owners though in the audience. A lot of chicken owners.
We used to have 14 of them. And the thing is, and we would get so many eggs, and then we did not transport our chickens here to Texas. Cash is saying he does not want me to get chickens.
Oh, I think he does. Cash is like, I will eat all the chickens.
He's like, all the chickens. Exactly.
Thank you, Jan. Jan says, act one of this presidential show was tragedy. Act two is the comedy. I'll make the popcorn while Joe and team crashes and burns. Let's hope so. Mm-hmm. Thank you, Jill Smith.
Thank you, Jill.
All this week, I've been seeing headlines from various economists or like who Jamie Dimon, like all kinds of different people are speculating about the stock market and what's going to happen in 2023 and what's going to like how the economy is going to be.
Yeah, you in danger, girl. Like,
basically, mm-hmm. He's saying that there's all kinds of people saying there's going to be like a big epic crash of the stock market again this year. I don't know if they're right or not. But the point about that is that the stock market is highly volatile. And so This might be a time, if you have not thought about it yet, but you've sort of been like wondering about maybe diversifying into some precious metals, a good time to think about getting some information about that right now. And it's very, very easy because our friends at Birch Gold have put together the most comprehensive and easy to follow and easy to understand packet of good information about what investing in gold looks like. And you can get that for free, you guys. All you have to do is text the word CHICKS to 989898. All right, let's get into your whack. I love your whack today.
Okay, my whack, it's kind of, you guys, I think everybody has a doppelganger. I have never found mine. But this is so amazing. Crazy, you guys. These guys are both minor league baseball pitchers. They have the same name.
Which is not common at all.
What is their name again?
Brady Feigl.
Both their names are Brady Feigl. And people kind of started, obviously, because they're both in the minor league baseball league or whatever. And so,
but on different, like in whole different states.
Whole different states, like whole different teams. And they look at them. They are basically identical twins. I mean, it's just crazy. They ended up doing like a DNA test and everything, and they're not related at all.
Not at all.
But how crazy is this? I think they're around the same age too. Aren't they around the same age?
Absolutely. One's 32 and one's 27.
I mean, that's really close.
But the same name?
Same height, same everything. They're basically almost around the same weight. I mean, they're just, it's so remarkable how they look exactly the same.
They had the same shoulder surgery by the same doctor.
Isn't that nuts?
It's just bizarre.
It's uncanny to me. To me, this is just, it's nuts. Like, I thought for sure, I was like, they have to be related. They're not related.
Right?
Yeah. They just, incredible. But they have the same job. I mean, they have the same exact, it's nuts, you guys. So, I mean, I feel like everybody does have like a doppelganger out there. Yes.
Yeah, remember when I found mine in Oklahoma? Remember? And we met her?
Yes. That was so fun. Yeah. Mock actually found hers and they went and had lunch together. I've never found, I don't think mine, I don't know. Mine and I don't think we're ever going to find each other.
You never know. You my never, ever know.
Me. I don't know. It's crazy, but I feel like if somebody said, I didn't see it. I don't know who said it, but somebody said, it's like, this is the glitch in the matrix. When you find, when you find your doppelganger.
Yeah.
But that is his. And they found each other and they do the same thing. Crazy.
I mean, like if their names were John Davis or something, I would get the name being the same. But Brady Feigl, F-E-I-G-L. What in the world?
I know. This is the thing. It is. It's a glitch in the matrix. Totally agree.
It's crazy. Yeah, it starts. That's the kind of stuff that starts making you think, are we like in a computer program right now? Because
are we in the matrix?
In the world?
Yeah. It's really bizarre, you guys. All right, you guys. What is today? Is today Thursday?
Thursday, yes.
It's Thursday. Thursday, you guys. We're on the downhill slope.
That's how he feels about that.
That was a yawn. That was a big yawn. He's mad. He wants to go out now. Okay, you guys. Oh,
okay. All right. It's time.
We're going.
Okay.
We're
going.
Give it a second. Quit barking at everybody. That's rude. It's very rude. Okay. You guys have a wonderful day. We'll talk to you tomorrow.
Bye.
Bye, everybody.